ओम जनकमिनन्दस्यालकया चक्षुसुमिलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टां स्थपितां येन भूतले स्वयं विप्रकृतमयं ददति सा पदञ्जिकम् वंशकपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Gajendra, the elephant, the king of the elephants, has been attacked by a crocodile. Although he is so powerful that the other animals, the larger animals of the forest, of the jungle, fled in terror from him. So powerful. But yet, while he was in the water refreshing himself, a crocodile, angry at him, grabbed his leg and wouldn't let it go. For 1,000 years, Gajendra struggled with this crocodile. But he became weak after some time because he was fighting outside of his element. The crocodile, an animal of the water, was nourished by his being in the water as he fought with Gajendra. But Gajendra, being an animal of the land, became weaker and weaker and weaker. Prabhupada's important purport to that verse described the importance of everyone being situated in their natural position for the purpose of continuing the fight, as he put it. The fight, what fight? Primarily the fight against the material energy to maintain our Krishna consciousness and increase our Krishna consciousness in this very, very difficult world, the kingdom of Maya. So one needs a secure foundation from which to maintain his existence in this world in a Krishna conscious way. And that's basically his vana and his ashrama, especially the both really, the vana and the ashrama, one's natural inclination to work according to one's psychophysical nature, and also the ashrama, or the position in relationship to either studentship, which is brahmachari, or married, which is grihastha, or renounced, which is vanaprastha, or the preaching sannyasi. So one should be in the natural position so that he can fight, first maintain his own Krishna consciousness in this world, which in and of itself is a fight, because the material energy, Maya, especially in Kali Yuga, is wild and harassing and aggressive. And then to take up the spirit that Prabhupada exhibited, which was to fight against this material energy and try to rescue the poor suffering souls who are caught by the illusory energy. And what is the being caught? Trying to enjoy as if they were the body. So much suffering comes. So much suffering. The attempt is for enjoyment and the result is suffering. One's life must unravel, one's dreams must unravel in this world. And if one has based his whole existence on the illusoriness of enjoying the material world, the false ego, Ishwaraham, Aham Bhogi, Siddhaham, Balavan Sukhi, one's whole existence will fall apart, unravel. Like sometimes you have a piece of cloth and there's one thread hanging out and you pull the one thread and the whole thing will fall apart. So material existence, our false conception, our illusory conceptions, they will unravel, they must unravel. So we really must have a foundation in Krishna consciousness if we want to be secure. And indeed, If one actually develops a strong foundation, even a foundation, what to speak of a tall building in Krishna consciousness, advancement in Krishna consciousness, that will save him from the greatest danger and the most anxiety. So Gajendra, his material false condition of being the lord, the king of the elephants, the protector of the family members, and the most powerful elephant in the jungle, most powerful animal in the jungle, it began to unravel in the jaws of the crocodile. But because he was a Sukritino, a pious soul, what he decided to do, well, first he decided that no one can protect me where I usually look for my shelter. Pashanapina Pashyati Tesham Pramata Nidanam. I know that the Atma Sannyasa Satsvapi, the fallible soldiers of that we normally depend upon, our own intelligence, our own body, our family members, this and that, it's all failing me, thought Gajendra. Now I shall take shelter of the Lord. So that ended that discrimination of the elephant, who is more a human than most, more a human than most humans, less an animal than most humans, due to that discrimination. So that was the end of the previous chapter. Now he's going to start to pray to the Lord for shelter. The first verse of the third chapter. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, Badarayani Uvacha, Sri Badarayani Uvacha, Sukadev Goswami began to speak. Thereafter, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence, focused his mind, his consciousness within his heart with his perfect, strong intelligence, concentration, samadhyaya. And he chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradyumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Here's Prabhupada's purport, a very important purport. Such remembrance is described in the Bhagavad Gita 6:43-44. Tatrayam buddhisam yogam labate povadikam. Yatate cha tato bhuya samsadao kurunandana. Purva bhyasena tenaiva riyate yavasopisa. In these verses, it is assured that even if a person engaged in devotional service falls down, he is not degraded. Just see. This person was a king. The soul was in the body of a king. So he fell down into the body of an animal. But yet, his consciousness was not fully degraded into animal consciousness. He remembered. He was able to remember by the grace of Krishna. And if Krishna doesn't give his grace, we can't remember anything. So by Krishna's grace, he was able to remember this prayer that we're going to hear. So he wasn't actually ultimately degraded. But he was placed by Krishna's grace in a position in which one is placed in a position in which he will in due course of time remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained later, Gajendra was formerly King Indradyumna, and somehow or another in his next life he became King of the Elephants. Is that what we want, to become big animals? Not just an ordinary old animal, but the top animal around. Now Gajendra was in danger. And although he was in a body other than that of a human being, he remembered the stotra. What does stotra mean? Stotra. Prayer.
Prayer for verses.
Yes. A prayer, a worshipful prayer. So he remembered the stotra he had chanted in his previous life. Yatate cha tato bhuya samsarao kurunandana. To enable one to achieve perfection, Krishna gives one the chance to remember him again. This is proved here. For although the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was put in danger, this was a chance for him to remember his previous devotional activities so that he could immediately be rescued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is imperative, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. Certainly one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha mantra, a great mantra. And also one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakarasad Masu or the Nisringa Stotra Ito Nisringa Parato Nisringo Yato Yato Yami Tato Nisringa. Every devotee should practice. Each and every devotee, one could say. Every devotee, that means each and everyone, should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly, so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. So this is a direct order to each and every person, every devotee, that we should, in addition to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we should learn to chant some other prayer, stotra mantra, very perfectly. Perfectly, so it very deeply enters our consciousness. So deeply that regardless of where we take our next birth, or even more immediately, so deeply that at a time of danger, even in this life, that impression is there and will turn to Krishna through chanting that mantra. Even if he becomes an animal. Of course, a devotee should try to perfect his Krishna consciousness in this life. For simply by understanding Krishna and his instructions, after giving up this body, one can return home, back to Godhead. So everyone should think about what mantra they would like to deeply impress upon their consciousness. Even if there is some fall down, practice of Krishna consciousness never goes in vain. For example, Ajamil in his boyhood practiced chanting the name of Narayan under the direction of his father. But later in his youth he fell down and became a drunkard, woman hunter, rogue and thief. Nonetheless, because of chanting the name of Narayan for the purpose of calling his son, whom he had named Narayan, he became advanced, even though he was involved in sinful activities. Therefore, we should not forget the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra under any circumstances. It will help us in the greatest danger, as we find in the life of Gajendra. Text 2. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, this is the first of the prayers, Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yatta Eta Chiratmakam Purushai Yadi Vijaye Pareshaya Bidhimahi. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmai, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Tasmai, unto him, unto the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Why should we offer, why is he offering his obeisances to Vasudev? Why should anyone offer their obeisances to Vasudev? Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit. And he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. So who is this Vasudev? He is the all-pervading Lord, and he is giving life to the body. we spend our time trying to realize and preaching that it is the soul that gives life to the body, but it is actually the Lord as the super soul, the all-pervading Lord, that's Vasudeva, that gives life to the soul. Without the potency of the super soul, even the soul can do nothing. It is fully dependent. It is relatively true. But the Lord, the super soul, is the absolute truth upon whom every other truth depends. So in every living entity, we are dependent upon Him. He is giving us life. And it is not only us little, teeny, insignificant bugs who are dependent upon Him. He is the root cause of life of everyone. He is worshipable because the root cause, we're depending on Him, we should worship Him. But He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva. And He has entered the heart of every living being, even the most exalted personage. Should be worshipping Him, because it is only by His grace that they have whatever position and even the life that they have. Let me meditate upon Him. So that is a point of meditation even. How He is the life in everyone. We look around, we see so many bodies, we see powerful personalities walking proudly around, rich, famous, strong. But if He withdraws His will into their fame and riches and pride, they will be left with nothing. Everyone is dependent upon Him. We should meditate on this. So Gajendra starts to meditate upon the super soul, upon whose life, upon whom His life is being maintained. And now he feels threatened that he will lose his life. And remember, all this time while he's praying, the crocodile is holding on and biting him. So imagine how deep this impression. Try to remember something, some prayer, some mantra, while you're in great, great pain. Very difficult. So how deep it was with Gajendra. Purport. In this verse, the words etat chidatmakam are very important. The material body certainly consists only of material elements. But when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material, but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of Him should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Guru Shu Naramati, one should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Arche Vishnu Shiradi. Everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone or sometimes of brass. But to think that the deity is merely stone is an offense. Similarly, to think that the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as the guru. People think like this. Even a few days ago, someone was telling me, he was explaining his philosophy, if you have faith in anything as God, you'll get the effect. Because they don't know what the deity actually is. So they think, that people are going to the temples and they're worshiping a piece of stone, but because of their faith they're getting some reciprocation. These people who think like this are impersonalists always. But there is a science in deity worship and a science in the purity of an exalted spiritual master who is always thinking of the Lord. And one can't say, well, if the body of the spiritual master is spiritual, or the deity is God, then let's test it. Let's see if the spiritual master becomes... Because Krishna has a spiritual body, and he never got old, so does the spiritual master get old? Does the deity, if we drop it, will it break? Like the Muslims who attacked all the temples in Vrindavan, and you can see this. The temples, anytime there's there was carvings, and they would break the carvings. You can still see this in the different temples where they were, the faces of the carvings cut off by the angry Muslims. Didn't like to see a face on God, so they say that it limits God. But to say that God has a doesn't have a face or can't have a face, that actually limits God. So they would break the deity. So, does that mean that it's really not spiritual? No, it is not the same kind of spiritual as the spiritual energy in the spiritual world, which is fully eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Not in that same way is the body of the spiritual master spiritual, but it's spiritualized. And the difference, the example given, is the difference between a gold box, a pure gold box, and a gold-plated box. So in the material world, spiritualized, like gold-plated by matter being used in the service of Krishna, but very potent nevertheless. Prabhupada's body was very, very, very potent. Very potent, very effulgent. Fully spiritualized. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Let us therefore offer our obeisances, Prabhupada says, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy so-called material things also become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activities. So that is a wonderful meditation. How powerful the Lord is, that He can change anything material into spiritual. And if the devotees will use everything purely in Krishna's service, then Krishna will change it. Will actually have the potency to bring people close to Krishna instead of pull them further away. So it's a great responsibility that devotees have to use things in Krishna's service in that way. So Krishna is giving life to everyone. So everybody rests on Him. The third sloka, His second prayer. The Supreme Personality, the Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests. So not only everybody is resting upon Him, but everything, every object is resting upon Him as well. The ingredient by which everything has been produced, everything comes from Him, rests on Him, comes from Him. And the person who is created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. This is an incredible meditation as well. Nonetheless, although everything is resting on Him, coming from Him, nonetheless, He is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. Everything comes from Him, rests on Him. Yet He Himself is separate, independent. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Maya Tatamidam Savam Jagaravyaktamutina. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everything rests upon my energy, just as an earthen pot rests on the earth. The place where an earthen pot rests is also earth. Then again, the earthen pot is manufactured by a potter whose body is a product of the earth. The potter's wheel with which the pot is made is an expansion of earth, and the ingredients from which the pot are made are also earth. As confirmed in the Shruti mantras, Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat pratyayant abhisambhishanti. The original cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after being annihilated, everything enters into Him. Prakritim yanti mamakam. Thus the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Remember that this is the eighth canto. And what's the canto after the eighth canto? Now that's not a hard question, is it? And you know what the canto after that one is? It's the tenth canto. And in the tenth canto, there's going to be a little boy wandering around Vrindavan, acting as if he's an ordinary fellow, herding the cows without his shoes in the forest of Vrindavan. And these concepts of what this super soul whom he's praying to, he doesn't know exactly who the Supreme Lord is, who Krishna is, but he's praying to a part of a part of a part of a part of that all-powerful Lord who very soon is going to be appearing in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So we must get these conceptions very deep within us, so we won't mistake Krishna's lila. Incredible, most incredible activities. The all-powerful, all-free Lord. All-free means he can do anything he wants. He's not obligated to anyone or anything, under no law. Omniscient, knows everything. And what is he choosing to do? He's wandering around in Vrindavan with a peacock feather in his head, on his head, playing his flute. But yet, it's not that he loses his potency. All these qualities are still there. So how wonderful it is. Lord Brahma is amazed. Narada Muni is amazed. Everyone is amazed except the residents of Vrindavan, because their love is so great, it overpowers the amazement. But that can't be imitated. We should still be amazed at this point at the potency of Krishna. So Prabhupada is hinting, thus the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, or Lord Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna, the original controller, supreme controller, Satchidananda Vigraha, whose body is composed of not blood and bones, but eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Anadiradi Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. He's the original cause of all causes. Govinda. Krishna is known as Govinda, as the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The Lord is the cause for everything, but there is no cause for him. Savam kalavidam brahma matstani savabhutani na chaham teshavastita. Although he has everything, his personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. But sometimes when Mother Yasoda asks Krishna to open his mouth, she sees the cosmic manifestation in there. Four. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his expanding his own energy, so he's the potency, the life of everyone, everything is resting upon him. And by expanding his own energy, he keeps this cosmic manifestation visible, and again sometimes renders it invisible. It's manifest, unmanifest. He is both the supreme cause and the supreme result. So everything is coming from him, and that which results from him being the cause, that emanates from him, is also him, because nothing is separate from him. He is observer, he is the supreme result and the cause, the observer and the witness in all circumstances. Thus he is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. He's everywhere. He's invisible sometimes. So maybe Gajendra couldn't see him right there, but he's there. He's beyond. He's everywhere. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. So he's doing everything, yet he's observing. Aloof, the aloof observer. Nothing is separate from him. So such amazing achintya shakti, amazing potency. Text 5. In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. So he's manifesting everything that's resting upon him. And then in time, everything is withdrawn and only darkness remains. So does that mean that Krishna is no longer there in that phase of time as well? No. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of his lotus feet. So he is present even after annihilation. There is no annihilation of the spiritual world, and the pastimes going on there are nitya lila, continuously going on. So although he is there, everywhere, and all is resting on him, still very hard to recognize his presence. Text 6. An artist on stage, here's an example, and it's the same example that Kunti Devi gave in the first canto. As an artist on stage, Natavara, Krishna, the best of dancers, being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. It's not recognized who he is. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Therefore, when people in general speak about God, what do they say? They can say how great he is, that everything is under his control, and that he's the creator, and that they should fearfully approach him, otherwise a thunderbolt or a curse may come down upon them. But exactly who he is, and what his nature is, and what his personality is, and what he does, and people want to go to heaven and be with him, but what do they do there? No one has any idea. What is the nature of heaven? Are there any shopping malls? What do you do with God if you're there? You sit on his left or right side and he's on a throne. What do you do? Wait? Wait for what? So those conceptions of God are wonderful because it is natural and good for people to have a reverential attitude towards him. But yet, very hard to actually know who the Supreme Person is. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. But yet Gajendra is praying, may that Lord, may that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. So he's compared Krishna to an actor, unrecognizable although he is there. Prabhupada's purport. A similar understanding was expressed by Kunti Devi. The Supreme Lord exists everywhere, within and without. He even exists within the heart. Sarvasya taham videsanavisto ishvara savabhutanam riddhishe arjuna tishtiti. Thus it is indicated that one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. There are many, many yogis trying to find him. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pashanti yam yogina. Nonetheless, even great yogis, demigods, saints and sages, holy people, have been unable to understand the bodily features of that great artist, nor could they understand the meaning of his movements. What then is to be said of ordinary speculators like the so-called philosophers of this material world? For them he is impossible to understand. Therefore, we must accept the statements given by the Supreme when he kindly incarnates to instruct us. We must simply accept the word of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in their footsteps. Then it may be possible for us to know the purpose of their incarnations. What happens if we know the nature of their incarnations and their activities? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tadvata tyakvadeyam puna janma naitimameti sarjana. If by the Lord's grace one can understand him, one will immediately be delivered even within his material body. The material body will no longer have any function, and whatever activities take place with the body will be activities of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one may give up his body and return home back to God. And practically speaking, for a devotee on this level who is not using his material body for material enjoyment, but using his body fully to serve Krishna, his body, his mind, and his words, then whether he is back home, back to Godhead in the spiritual world or here in the material world, apituliyarta darshana, it makes no difference because he's with Krishna. So Gajendra here is praying, may he give me protection. He's hard to understand, this Lord, but may he give me protection. He is the goal of everyone who is seeking him, seeking the truth, absolute truth, regardless of their path. Text 7, Gajendra says, renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Here is Gajendra praying to the same one who the great sages are performing very difficult vows and living so austerely in the forest, using all their time and energy to try to realize. And here he is, an animal, an elephant, in danger. So even if we happen to be animals and elephants, or other kinds of animals, maybe some of us are frogs or monkeys or whatever, but still, see Gajendra's determination. He's praying to that same Lord who is so difficult to see, even by those who are very severely and strictly practicing the processes of spiritual life. Prabhupada's purport. This verse describes the qualification for devotees or persons highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devotees are always equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Pandita Samadarshana. They look upon everyone as a spirit soul who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of everyone, Suridam Savabhutanam, they act as friends of everyone on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Making no distinction between one nation and another, or one community and another, they preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. Thus they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. So these again, as Prabhupada is saying, these are the qualifications of a devotee. He doesn't discriminate between friends and enemies. Prahlad Maharaj said that in the 7th canto, between I'm a member of this bodily group or that country, like that. No. He sees that there are different souls, but everyone, every living being is a soul, but in different encasements. So because of this attitude, especially the preaching attitude, they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Such preachers in Krishna consciousness are called Paramhansas. As indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha, They have nothing to do with material conditions. One must take shelter of such a devotee in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 8 and 9. So that Lord is hard to see, but regardless of how he comes to the material world, he is always transcendental. So Gajendra will now say this. He doesn't lose his position regardless of how he incarnates. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, he comes in the form of a human being, like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, by his original internal potency, sambhavam yatma mayaya. He comes by his own mercy or his own internal energy. But he doesn't come to the material world per se. He appears to be in the material world, appears to be a human being, appears to be performing human activities. But he's never in the material world. He's never conducted by the same energy that conducts all living entities in the material world. It's all being done by his internal potency, his spiritual energy. Everything he does is lila or pastimes. He has immense potency. And in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. So regardless, when he comes to this world, it is always transcendental. Whether he comes as a fish, a tortoise, a lion, half lion, or as a cowherd boy, it's always pure and beyond the material world, having nothing to do, similar to the activities of parallel activities in the material world, but yet completely different. Like the reflection is similar to the actual object, but actually it doesn't have any substance that the material, the actual object has. So the material world is like a reflection of the spiritual world. Purport. In the Vishnu Purana it is said, Gunam chadosham chamune vyatita samasta kalyana gunatmako hi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, qualities, or faults. He is spiritual and is the only reservoir of all spiritual qualities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and annihilating the demons are transcendental. Anyone annihilated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead gets the same result as a devotee who is protected by the Lord. Both of them are transcendentally promoted. The only difference is that a devotee goes directly to the spiritual planets and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord, whereas demons are promoted to Brahmaloka, the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Both of them, however, are transcendentally promoted. The Lord's killing or annihilating of the demons is not exactly like the killing of this material world. Although he appears to act within the modes of material nature, he is nirgun, above the modes of nature. His name is not material. Otherwise, how could one get liberation by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama? The name of the Lord, like Ram and Krishna, are none different from the person Ram and Krishna. Thus, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one constantly associates with Ram and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore becomes liberated. A practical example is Ajamil, who always remained transcendental to his activities simply by chanting the name Narayan. In what sense was Ajamil transcendental to his activities? That he was untouched by sinful reactions and he remained sinless because of his frequent, if not constant, chanting of the name of Narayan. Because it wasn't done, namnad baladyasya hi papabudhi. It wasn't done thinking that I will commit sinful activities and then I'll chant and remove the reactions. No, it was done more or less innocently. So therefore, Ajamil remained transcendental to his activities simply by chanting the name Narayan. It is said of the Supreme Lord whose name he's chanting. When the Lord comes to this material world, he does not become a product of matter. This is confirmed throughout Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyam avajananti mam mudha manushyam tanamasrita. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rama or Krishna, descends to act transcendentally for our benefit, we should not consider him an ordinary human being. When the Lord comes, he does so on the basis of his spiritual potency, sambhavam yatma maya, because he is not forced to come by the material energy. He is always transcendental. One should not consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary human being. Material names and forms are contaminated, but spiritual names and forms name and form are transcendental. Text 10. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Supersoul who is the witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. He's in everyone's heart. He's the cause of spiritual enlightenment for the living entity, and one cannot advance by one's own power. Text 11. Naturally, one wants to know that Lord who is so transcendental, who is so beyond, who is the protector, who is so powerful. When he comes to the material world, he's still beyond. He can't be known by anyone's potency. He can only be known by his own grace. Well, then naturally one wants to know how one can know him. How can one understand him? How can one develop a relationship with him, this Lord, who is so transcendental and powerful? Text 11. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respects unto him. We'll start reading Prabhupada's purport. And this will be the final purport, verse and purport we'll read today. We'll read starting in the second paragraph. Devotional service is called naishkarmya in this verse. Yes. Sadvena pratilabhyaya naishkarmyena vipaschita nama kaivalyanataya nirvana sukha samvide. Devotional service is called naishkarmya. Naishkarmya more literally means activities or work that is performed without any desire for the result. Devotional service, Prabhupada explains, is called naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activity will not endure. Naishkarmya apachutta bhava varjitam. Narada Muni says this too in Srila Vyasadeva. Unless one performs activities with reference in Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities will not be helpful. If one just gives up material activities but performs no activities, trying to avoid karma and material activities, one will not exist, not be helpful. This is what Narada Muni tells Atuta. Excuse me, tells Vyasadeva. Nice karma apachutta. Atuta bhava varjitam. Unless even knowledge that is limited and doesn't speak about the activities about Achyuta or Krishna, it is not tasteful, it is not good, it will not be helpful. So similarly, cessation of material activities will not be helpful unless there are spiritual activities. So in hopes of achieving naishkarmya, freedom from material action, many highly elevated sannyasis stopped their activities. Yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But once one is engaged in the spiritual activities of Bhakti Yoga, one does not fall down. Our Krishna consciousness movement, here Prabhupada is going to tell a purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement and what one of its goals is and one of its methodologies is. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore an attempt to engage everyone always in spiritual activities by which one becomes transcendental to material actions. So this is what is wanted. Everyone should be engaged in spiritual activities. And what's the difference between a spiritual activity and a material activity? Well, you were pointing. But I thought you raised your hand. What's the difference?
One's for one's own gratification.
Yeah.
Gratification.
Yeah, so it's really important to keep that in mind, that it's not really the externals. It's the consciousness of an activity done for Krishna's pleasure that makes it actually spiritual. So the spiritual activities of Bhakti Marg, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, lead one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated here, Sadvena Patilabhyaya Naishkam Yena Vipaschita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, Bhaktir Asya Bhajanam Tad Iha Mutropadi Nairasyenaiva Mushim Manasa Kaupanam Itarevacha Naishkamyam. This is a definition of Naishkamya. One acts in Naishkamya when he fully engages in Krishna conscious activities. Bhakti rasya bhajanam tad. So when the living entity acts in bhakti, his bhajan, this is what Naishkamya is. One acts in Naishkamya when he fully engages in Krishna conscious activities without material desires to enjoy either here or in the upper planetary systems in the present life or in the future life. Iha amutra. Anya bilasita sunyam. When one is freed from all contamination and he acts in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, one is on the platform of Naishkamya. By such transcendental devotional service, the Lord is served. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
I guess from the example of Jiva and being in Vijuna in previous lifetime, pickles ourselves, is that there's no guarantee having been a devotee of the excuse from a devotee in this lifetime that one is guaranteed of being a devotee in the next lifetime. There might be a gap before one actually comes to devotee again, is that correct?
There are different statements in this regard. Prabhupada, and also the Bhagavad Gita, says that even a little action in devotional service will save one from the greatest danger. And what is that greatest danger? To lose the opportunity of human life and fall again into animal life. But yet, so this is the general principle. But yet we see the example of Bharat Maharaj, and maybe Indradyumna Maharaj and coming to Gajendra also. But we haven't gotten up to the reasons why he is in an elephant body. But in any case, with Bharat Maharaj, he was an exalted devotee even, and he had to take his birth as a deer. So another principle is whatever one is thinking of Saritad Bhava Bharata, at the time of his death, he'll take that kind of a body. And another principle yet, so one principle is that a devotee will take a human birth. Even he's making an attempt in devotional service, he'll take a human birth. Another principle is that whatever we're thinking of at the time of death will take that kind of a birth. Saritad Bhava Bharata. And another principle is that Krishna will protect his devotee. So these all have to be put together, all the different examples, Chipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Santim Nagashti Kantaya Pratijanihi Name Bhakti Pranashati. Another principle, that even if one gets placed in a difficult position, Krishna has Arjuna promised that he will protect the devotee. So here, both in the case of Bharat Maharaj and in the case of Gajendra, even though they did take animal births, still they were protected by Krishna. Bharat Maharaj had his remembrance of his previous life, so even as a deer he was so careful, and he associated with devotees. And Gajendra, he was given, protected by Krishna by having the remembrance of this prayer from it, that he had mastered in his previous life. So I didn't answer your question with a yes or a no.
Can I comment
yes.
on something else?
Yes.
Gradations of devotees, we're talking Indrajuna, Bharat Maharaj, great devotees, so perhaps for them the case is it's guaranteed that Krishna will look after them and so on and so forth. Speaking for myself, I mean, we're not in that league, so can we call ourselves devotees and expect the same treatment as Bharat Maharaj?
No, we can't accept the same treatment. But we can expect Krishna to be kind to us, because it's not that he likes Bharat Maharaj and doesn't like us or any other living entity. He's suridam sarvabhutanam. He's staying right next to the soul in the heart. Savasya cham hridesanavisto. So he is surid. He's dear to every living entity, and every living entity is naturally dear to him. So the different angles are given to affect different states of consciousness in us. So on one side, we should have confidence in Krishna because he promises that his devotee will not perish. On the other side, thinking about Bharat Maharaj, we should be careful because we don't want to lose the opportunity. And we should be humble and dependent on Krishna's mercy, knowing that we're not great devotee like Bharat Maharaj. So we should try. We should try to put the pieces together in our own life, in our own Krishna consciousness, and try to chant Hare Krishna, stay in a natural position for us. We heard that yesterday. Stay in a position that's natural for us, do service that's natural for us, but hear about Krishna and do service and chant Hare Krishna. And ultimately, our hope is not in our being a great devotee, because we see the examples of the great devotees. They think themselves the lowest of devotees, and they see others as great devotees and themselves as insignificant. So our hope is never in the fact that we'll be a great devotee, but it's always going to be in mercy. So you trade your t-shirt in for a mercy, not justice t-shirt with Hare Krishna on it. What can we do? We have to place ourselves in the hands of Krishna and hope for the best. Yes, thank you.
Everybody actually knows in his mind how much he surrendered, and that he has to surrender more and more. So Krishna is very impartial, and we can say he's merciful, he's very impartial. He's in the system. Action and reaction is always equal and opposite. So we know what we are doing, how much we are doing.
Why are you trying to frighten us, Bunky?
What I mean is that it's already there.
But see, Krishna also says, he makes different statements at different times. Another one is ye bhajanti. He says, like you're saying, savoham, samoham, savabhuteshu. But then he says later, ye bhajanti, tumam bhaktya maya titeshu chapyam, that I don't treat my devotees equally. So then the question comes, are we really devotees? So then Krishna answers that by saying, one who considers himself my devotee is not my devotee, but one who considers himself a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. Tadiyanam samacharam. So then, although we may not be very much devoted, that's like, you know, if we become the dog of the wealthy man, then everyone will pat us when they see us, even though we're only a dog. So that's the dispensation that we're hoping for.
As you say, the dog of the wealthy man,
that's
the equal.
What happens if we're dog-like devotees? Well, can we expect bones? But if we're dog-like devotees and we happen to have a master who happens to be a real devotee, then we're okay. What do you think?
Well, if we receive by the grace, we should be grateful. But if you don't receive, even then we have to be grateful. Great, you just get as much as we deserve.
Very magnanimous, grateful soul. Yes?
I think the point is, regardless of how we end up, as long as we end up in the association of devotees somehow, whether it's a worm or a dog or an animal or a tree.
That's actually a bhakti. Yeah, good point. That's another.
And it doesn't really matter because we're in the loop, we'll keep going.
Yeah, there's that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another nice point. That he says, let me take my birth anywhere according to my karma. But let it be, my only desire is, let it be, and let me even be born as a bug or a worm or something, but let it be in the house of a devotee. Yes?
It seems as though each one of us is going to take a certain amount of time, and it's unrealistic and also kind of nerve-wracking to have a sort of feeling that either you have to get everything done in one life, because it's usually based on a fear of something, you know, like I'll have to come back and I'll have to take birth again, I've been how painful that is.
What happens if I take my birth and there's a bug in the house of a devotee who uses some, who kills all the cockroaches in his house or something like that, what's going to happen?
So it seems as though one has to slowly come to a realistic understanding of where he stands in Krishna consciousness. And as Bhakti said, we all know somewhat in our heart what we're not doing. Everyone knows that, even though we don't wish to, you know, look at that so often. So that's what we still have left to do. And that, more or less on one level, will take a certain amount of time and may take some more births. Like even Shri Prabhupada talked like that. Sometimes two, three births, and
he said one time, crores of births.
But when you think that the development of devotional service that you performed in this life is accumulation, so in your next situation, you don't receive back to where you were at the start of this life and start again as if you're just going up here and falling down, but it's a journey. And you've gone this far, then you go that far, so that your future birth is auspicious. Also, we used to be a dog in the house of a devotee who doesn't mean a devotee like us. You know, there's a mixed devotee who sometimes might, you know, forget Krishna for ages and ages, but he's praying for exalted association, exalted devotees.
So that he can hear their chanting and hear Krishna
Kirtan.
Because
then if you're in their house as a dog, just the atmosphere of being around an exalted person, imagine if you were around Srila Prabhupada or some lowly form that you were around him all the time, you'd be making advancement just by being in that exalted presence. So it's not, you know, if you look at it superficially, it doesn't work. But if you look at it deeply with some faith, you can see that there is a maturation, like a mango on a tree. You kind of say, I want this mango to be a ripe mango. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that it takes some time. Krishna's mercy is the ripening factor along with
our endeavor. There's another quality. And when one sees what one is not giving and sees one's fallen condition, then one feels humility. And that seems to attract mercy.
So it may seem sometimes depressing, but if one proceeds through that, the depression to a state of physical straightforwardness and sort of honesty. And Sri Raj was talking about that in this recent article on Back to Godhead magazine, about being straightforward with Krishna, not being kind of, you know, being mature and expressing what you can't do, what the limitations are, knowing them, being satisfied to the work as honestly and hard as you can, as humbly as you can, to overcome things if you do see it in your own. Srila also talks about checking every day to see what progress you've made every day. At the end of the day, if you see something, he says, if you see something for a few days that doesn't seem to be working, you should understand that there's some hidden offense in there, and you should try to find it and correct it. Even that seems a bit overrated sometimes, to just find something and correct it. But all the great acharyas seem to be saying you have to introspect and you have to try to improve, and the rest is coming from Krishna. It's a lot more than we deserve.
Okay.
That's desire, then desire is a cardinal principle here.
Anyone else? But there, you also think that there was Gajendra with an animal who had just been engaging in animalistic activities with all the other animals, and there he was with the jaw of the crocodile on his leg, and there wasn't really time to think of what he deserved. He was frightened, and therefore that impelled him to speak, in one sense, beyond his capacity, of his present conditioning, by Krishna's grace, and therefore he called, as he said, Krishna is the same Krishna that he was approaching, or the same Lord that he was approaching and calling to, was the same Lord who the sages in the forest who were performing austerities are trying to get. And there he was, an elephant, doing it. So his fear made him bold, and his piety turn that boldness into calling for help in a humble way. Deserving or not deserving, he was praying.
There's another point of that, though, is that, like you said, the great sages in the forest do that. And previously he had done something like that. Similarly, you see sometimes that devotees in the beginning of their devotional career, they're sometimes working really hard, and then they may not have the same vigor later. But something from the time when he was more in the process of that he was, you know, that he recalled something from his past and he was able to use the thing.
So nothing is lost. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gajendra, deserving or non-deserving, calling out for the Lord's help, Ki Jai.